And point six, here in London, on values of life and living in a body that is healthy, harmonious, happy, and filled with light. We're just talking now about Ayurvedic medicines and about releasing migraine headaches by the thumb over the insert of the thumb finger, and about how the principles work on this sort of thing. And we'll go into it another time, but at the moment we were just talking about the simple meditation for clearing the mind, clearing the brain and the head of tensions and anxieties, of feelings that are causing us to be out of balance. And the technique that's used is to take your fingers just inside of the nose, in the crotch of your nose, and then work your way up over your eyebrow, and then come down, and then come down under the eye, and to the nose again, and then down to the edges of the nose, down to the upper lip, and then down across the opening of your mouth, and then away. And you're not throwing out bad vibrations. You are encouraging harmonious vibrations. If you ever think that good vibrations are always good, just think of the soldiers marching on the bridge, marching in cadence, left, right, left, right, left, right. Within a short time, the bridge begins to get such a rhythm to it that it breaks up. It totally destroys the suspension bridge that these men are walking across. So what do they say to the men as they walk across the bridge? They say, break step. They don't want those vibrations. Those vibrations are so pure, it's like a musician who plays a pure note and the glass breaks. And the note is so pure that happens. And it's really not so pure. It's merely that the vibrations of the element of the glass and the vibrations of the instrument are one. They're just synchronized, like the men walking across the bridge, making the bridge into a synchronized vibration which destroys itself. And this is what some medical science is teaching us now, that we can use vibrations to destroy bacteria in our body. And this probably will be the new attitude toward medicine in the near future, of using vibrations. They're already using laser beams and laser pills and laser things to clean your teeth, to go in and operate on some tiny part of your brain that needs attention, or some area that's very touchy. And they even use laser to take off warts and other silly things, you know. So laser has become quite popular. They want to just make sure that the laser doesn't have any side effects that are not beneficial. And that's why it's not used more broadly than it is. But it's used quite broadly. Now, knowing about massaging your face can be so helpful to you in balancing yourself. Whenever I am with people who are very nervous, very upset, and they are just out of balance themselves, I just say, okay, let's really think about this. Let's just take our hands and put it over our head and just sort of touch our face just lightly, our forehead, touch our eyebrows, just touch our nose, just lightly touch it, and have your eyes closed, just lightly let your hands, and as you do this, you feel a sensation, because all of the nerves of your body are ending up in the brain, they're ending up in that area, and you are bringing a sense of peace and a sense of harmony to that area by using your hands just gently to move them over and over your head. Now, there are millions of schools that teach aspects of this and share it, but all of them agree that if you can bring peace and balance through your head, through the massage of your head, through the massage of yourself, that everything falls into place. That all of your anxieties, all of your tensions, all of the things that are ready to kill you are no longer there. And so when little children come in to me and I'm talking to them and they're very distressed, you know, I just mentally massage their head or something like that, and then they cool down. You say, well, why don't you do that to Evil Bay? Well, Evil Bay was having fun, and I did it to Evil Bay to a degree, but I didn't want to spend too much time on that. Now, do you think that Evil Bay would respond to it? Very well. Do you think that he'd respond to it if he had one alpha figure present? Do you know what I'm saying? If Ibu Bay has 2, 3, 4 alpha figures present, he doesn't know which one to follow. And each alpha figure has a different attitude. I mean, here you have a father and a doctor. Here you have a nurse and a loving aunt. And here you have a father and whatever. And so everybody comes in with their own agenda as to how to work with things like Ibu Bay. And I've worked with Ibu Bay over the years, and we've done some very wonderful things. And I never like to overdo anything I do with him, even though I play with him strongly. I don't like to overdo anything because I don't ever want him to feel that I'm manipulating him, you know? It's always his choice of whatever he does. Now, I slapped him on the I said, if he takes it, I'll slap you. Well, he wanted to check and see if I really would. And so I did. I slapped him a little bit. And he knew it didn't hurt. And it didn't bother. It's just love. So he just went on doing it. And so we had to change the program for him. Now, our body is pure energy. The atoms in the tip of our little finger, just the tip of our little finger, are 10 to the 29th power. Of atoms. That's a number of atoms in that little tiny space. And in every atom is enough energy to light New York City for a year. A year. Now that's a lot of power. That has to be controlled, of course, and guided, but that power, which I think they would call it in kilowatts or kilograms or whatever they call it, and it's very powerful. Now, when you think of your body, and you think your body is pure energy, which it is, this energy is either doing something or not doing something. It's either actively pulsating or it is not. And it is never not pulsating, even when you die and your life sign shows a straight line. You're very much alive. You're very, very much alive. Your body has activities going on within every cell of your body, which are functioning. They may be in decay, but they're functioning in a fantastic way. And the ability to bring the body back after a long time death is not unfamiliar to everyone. People who have drowned in a lake and they're brought back out and they're frozen, you know, and they're revived. They revived. Wouldn't have been something if we could have revived that snowman on top of the mountain in Italy there. But perhaps one day they will. But we might get more than we bargained for. But nonetheless, these are the things, the way it goes. Now, that energy that lies within our body that is not dormant but not necessarily properly used is waiting for us to use it. And the best way for us to learn to use our body energy is through the energy massage. Now, we've all heard about the energy massage and basically know it, but the energy massage is a matter of you intelligently talking to your body through the energy of your fingertips. As your fingertips go over your body, gently going over, it doesn't have to touch, you can be clothed or not, but you don't touch your skin. If you do, it's okay, but you don't, that's not the purpose. And just gently go over it. Now, if you were to take your hand and let the fingertips gently go over the back of your hand, you'll feel a great sensation. You feel such a tenderness, such a sexual sensation, but it's not really that. And we've just equated the senses of the body with sexual every time we do it, whether they are or not. But these sensations are the energy in your fingertips and the energy of your body below your fingertip responding to one another. They're fluctuating back and forth. And this energy, it can make your whole body come alive if you wish. You go over your entire body, and then you do the step that I think is very important. You say to your body, you say to yourself, I'm whole and perfect. Welcome.
Hello.
Come join us. So we were just doing the energy massage. And you say to your body, I like you, I like me, I like me, I like me. And you let your fingertips just sort of float over your body, just float over every area of your body. And you say, I like me, I like me, I like me. And what is happening is that your body is hearing from you that you like it. We have oftentimes told our body we don't like it. We've oftentimes said to our body, that's a terrible burn or a terrible finger or a terrible thing or whatever it is. And because we tell our body it's terrible, our body responds in that way. The stem cells or the cells of our body, not only the stem cells, but the cells of our body respond to what we tell it. Now, on our hand or on our body, exterior body, the skin, which is the largest organ of our entire body, as you know, that organ is ready to be responded to. It's ready to do anything we want to do. If we have a stomach ache or a headache, or if we have a heartache, or if we have a worry or anxiety of any kind, we go over our body and say, peace, 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 peace. And you're not massaging the physical body, you're massaging the energy body. And as you say peace, 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 the body begins to relax, begins to peace. Every night before I go to bed, I lay down and I say peace, and then I am gone. I go to sleep. I don't let myself think about the day's activities. I don't let myself think about anything. I just say peace, peace, and I'm gone. I'm gone. And the next thing I know, it's morning. And I do have a lot of magnificent adventures during the night, but I'm off into sleep. Now, this is what we want to do, and we can. Train ourselves that when we give ourselves either the total body massage or part of the body massage, whatever we choose to do, we just say, peace, 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 peace. And as we say that, our body responds. We have never really learned to understand the impact of the mantra. We've never really learned to understand the impact of affirmations. And affirmations and mantra are similar insofar as what they're doing is they're putting a cause in motion for us that we want to have in our body to demonstrate in our body just how fantastic we are. Now, I have tons of affirmations that I make available to people, and they're very, very powerful and very good, and we've used them over many years. They're very fine. But the simple one is, like, I like me. And so you say this affirmation of I like me. A person comes up to you and does something naughty, and you say to them, I like you. And the person says, what, you like me? And I did something bad to you, but you like me? Yeah, I like you. I cannot afford not to like you. Because if I don't like you and you don't like me, we've really got a problem going on. But if I say, I like me, I like me, I like you, then they're defenseless. If a person comes up and tries to do something unkind to you and you say, well, how wonderful to see you. Gee, you know, you just brightened my day. I like you so. It's just such a pleasure to have. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, you're just a nice person. But I've got totally different ideas in my mind about you than that. Well, I don't care. I like you. I think you're a nice person. I think you're a thoughtful, loving person. You defuse them of any attitude they might have toward you that might be detrimental to you. Now, so many people, they go to doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists trying to get rid of their migraine headache, trying to get rid of their worries and their anxieties. And really, all you have to do is just take a hammer and hit them on the head and they'll forget all about their anxieties.
Very easy.
Now, why will they forget about their anxieties? Because they're unconscious. Because they're not conscious of their anxieties and their worries, and because they're not conscious of them, they do not affect them. Because you have to be conscious of it to have it be active in your life. If you're not conscious of it, you're not active. That's why so many practitioners like to use hypnosis on people, because it takes away their conscious awareness and makes them, you know, work just on another level. But I don't recommend that from the point of view that the people are not doing anything for themselves. We are doing it for them. But of course, a medical doctor does it for people too by giving them pills. And so they're not doing it for themselves, the doctor is. But again, the doctor is keeping them alive long enough until their body finally gets around to healing themselves. Yeah, and that's beautiful. Now, this energy massage, you can do it over your entire body when you wake up in the morning, and it can be erotic or it can be just beautiful. And if it's erotic, let it be. Then after a while, isn't that way. Pretty soon, it's just a matter that I like me, I like me, I like me. Because what are you doing? You're falling in love with your body. You're saying, I love you. I love you, body. You're a good body. And then you go over your broken arm and you say, I love you. You're whole and perfect. I love you. I love you. I love you. And the body heals many times faster when you do that. And doctors who have their patients do that have miracles happening, but few doctors do that because few doctors want to get involved. And I know that sounds strange, but doctors do not want to be involved with their patients. Now, okay, was saying that he did, as a gynecologist, he had hundreds every week, right? Hundreds of patients. Do you think, in any stretch of the imagination, he had a personal relationship with all those people? He may have had an emotional relationship.
They were just numbers.
Numbers.
No, they were just numbers.
They're just numbers. Yeah, they had to be.
Through, you know.
Yeah, they had to be, because you couldn't do your work and do it effectively if you became emotionally involved in those people. Because if you were emotionally involved in how the husband was treating the wife, or how the wife was being hurt, and how she wanted to come out of her unhappiness, and you become a psychiatrist, you know, and that wasn't your role. Your role was merely to help them with the birth of the child. And they're pure numbers. Now, they didn't get his personal relationship. They didn't get his personal touch. And without your personal touch, what happens to them? They just went on their way.
Yep.
If they were happy, they were happy. If they were not happy, they were not happy.
Yeah.
But you got the baby to them, all right, you got them to the church in time. And so that was a lovely thing. Now, what is it that we're doing to ourselves? We really, for the moment, have no interest in anybody else on the face of the earth except ourselves. Although I know each one of you are thinking of your work and how you can apply these things at your work. But think of it, for instance, for yourself. If you are we use the same one. If you're a father and you take your kids down to the beach and one of them falls in the ocean and you try to save them and the tide takes them out and you can't swim and the kid drowns, what are you going to do? You're going to run in there and drown with the kid and leave the other kids on shore and let them come racing after you and drown too? Or are you going to stay back and take care of the ones that didn't get in? Well, this is what we want to learn to do. We want to learn that we have to be number one. We have to recognize that we are number one and that we are fantastic and we are good and we are glorious and we are we're doing something great. Now, when you say, I like me, when you say, I'm number one, when you say that this is a great and beautiful world, what happens when you say that? What you're saying is you're putting a cause in motion, and you're putting a cause in motion for yourself. Then, as you give yourself the energy massage, and you say, I like me, as you run your hand over your body and say, I like me, I like me, I like me, what's happening? Your body can believe you. Your body can, your brain really believes you, but your brain can accept the fact that that's true, because it's an affirmation. Or you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And when you train yourself, and then you accidentally stub your toe, which is never an accident, but you stub your toe, and you instantly say as you feel that you stubbed it, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, you never get a pain. You never get any sensation at all, because you've already blocked it. You've already closed off that pain center information coming up through that nervous activity, that channel, that nerve channel. And when you close it off, you don't feel it. Now, why don't you feel it? You don't feel it because you have taken charge. You have consciously taken charge of closing it off. Now, can you do that with anything? Sure. How do you see? Do you think you see with your eyes? According to research on the eye, eye diseases are rare. Eye diseases are very rare. But eye weakness is very common. And the weakness of the eye is not because the eye is weak, unable to see, but because it's strained. And in the straining of the eye, which is done because you're straining to look and see something, in the straining of the eye, you're causing it to move out of a perfect curvature, which gives it the opportunity to see. If you look at the visual activity of an eye, you see that when the images are focused directly on the areas of the eye that are perfectly in balance, it's worked great. But when you have far-sighted or near-sighted, you have larger or smaller curvature of the eye itself and, of course, of the lens. Now, these things you say, well, Herb, what's that all about? Well, what that's all about is just relaxation. When you can learn to relax, then you see better. And when you learn to relax, you hear better. When you learn to relax, you live better. When you learn to relax, your whole body functions as a harmonious instrument for you. Now, do you want that? And the answer is no. If you wanted it, you would do your utmost to learn to relax. Now, learning to relax is what makes our body function at its peak. And we don't learn to relax whenever we allow ourselves to be concerned about something that's none of our business. When we let our thoughts get into areas that is not our business. Now, it's not our business to save the world. It's not our business of what other people do to other people. But it is our business to say, all is in divine order. And to say, everyone is happy and harmonious. And as we put this cause in motion, then we bring about this as a powerhouse. But if we go around saying, these people should be killed, well, just watching a movie and getting excited in the movie about how the movie is portrayed and the actors and stuff, you know it's a movie, and still you get angry and you want to kill somebody and you want to put somebody in jail because they were evil people and stuff. And you let your emotions be ruled about a pure fiction. Well, our life is a pure fiction too. Everything in our life is an illusion. And we make that illusion appear real or appear not real. And we want to train ourselves to be real what we want to be real. No. You say to a child, are you a good student? And the child says, oh, yes. And well, can you say 2 times 2 is 4? Oh, yes. And then you give a lot of other little examples, and the child says, oh, come on, make it something more difficult. Something more difficult. And then you talk on. And then you take a person like Chioma, and you talk mathematics to her, and she says, hey, this is child's play. What are you talking about here? This is so silly. What are you talking about? And it's true. It's so silly. We make it so silly that it's child's play. And what is child's play? Child's play is knowing it. Knowing it. Because the children already know it. All we're doing is helping them to reveal that they do know it. Whether it's a musical instrument or whether it's mathematics, they already know it. We're just helping them to reveal it. Now, are you ready to reveal within yourself that you are the king of your castle? That you are the king of your body, the queen of your body? Are you ready to reveal that you are in control of your body? Do you think that a king or queen would allow his people to do things he didn't want them to do? No. Does he make new rules that people don't always like? Sure. Does he enforce these rules with his guards and with all the other things? Yes. Does he put good people in jail sometimes, you know, who don't need to be put in jail because he figures out they've misused the taxes or something? Yes, he does these things. Now, this is you. And every time anytime we say that I'm unhappy and I'm tired, we're putting ourselves in jail. We're limiting ourselves from being all that we can be. We want to be king of our temple, king of our castle. Yeah. And what were we told? Where does the kingdom of God dwell? It dwells within. And so that's our castle. That's our kingdom. Now, how are we going to express ourselves in that kingdom? How are we going to live there? Well, I don't want to live in a castle in England unless it has been renovated, unless it has been reconditioned with beautiful air conditioning and heating throughout, with beautiful carpets on the floors, you know, with all sorts of lovely things. If I walk around barefoot in my castle, do I want to walk on these ice-cold floors? You know, that's silly. Do I want to just sweat in the summertime and freeze in the wintertime? No. Do I want to be heated only by the fireplace so I have to keep turning around to get the back warm, then the front warm, then the back warm? Why do you think the early people who lived in castles wore all those fur clothing? They had to stay warm.
To keep warm.
Yeah, that's to keep warm somehow. Well, now, our body is the same way. We need to renovate our body with a new thought. And the new thought that we're renovating our body with is that I'm whole and perfect. I am balanced. I am harmonious. I love myself. I love the world. I love everything. And as we do that, then what happens? We love everything. As we do that, life takes on a whole new picture for us, and we feel good. We feel very good. We feel just peaceful and harmonious. We feel just absolutely good. But that only lasts for a little while. And then we drift back to how we used to feel.
Yes.
And when we drift back to how we used to feel, then we are quickly back to where we were. Now, how do we go to our new awareness of who we are and stay there? Well, that's what affirmations are all about. Affirmations are about going to our new awareness and staying there, and being there, and being there, and being there. We have songs that we sing, and that helps a lot too. And like we sing, I am God, God I am. 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 And as we sing that, the vibrations just tingle through our entire body. And the first time we sing it and really feel it and mean it, we just feel alive. We just feel dynamic. And I told you the story of the one little boy. We were singing, God bless America, land that I love. And he said, no, no, no. He said, I'm God. I bless America. I bless America, land that I love. And I thought that was cool. And so I go all over the world teaching people to sing that. I bless Nigeria, land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her. I bless London, Great Britain, England, or whatever you call your country here, you know, in all these many names.
The United Kingdom.
The United Kingdom.
Yeah.
You see, I bless the United Kingdom. You know, I bless the United Kingdom. Wouldn't that be something if everybody in the United Kingdom and in its territories and so forth were to say, I bless the United Kingdom, land that I love. Teach them to sing that. Teach them to be. What would happen to England? What would happen to Great Britain? What would happen to the what did you say?
Be a new thought and movement.
Hmm?
So there'd be a new thought.
There would be a new thought. There would be a new England. There would be a new England.
Less people putting it down than putting it up.
Hey, no people putting it down anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, not just less, but no. But you see, when you get everybody on the bandwagon, that's great. So, now what happens to a popular song? A popular song gets in your head and you can't get it out. And you're singing it or thinking it, and it's just going around in your mind. Well, now, this song, where did I Bless America come from?
Isn't that your...
Huh? God Save the King.
Is it not your anthem, Pat?
God Save the King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, what is it? You remember it?
God Save the King is our own anthem.
That's it. But it's from Britain.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. America picked it up, you know, and thought it was a good idea and sold it. And now I'm passing it all around the world.
But it had
different words, you know. But yeah, I do that. But you see, when you get those vibrations going for you, it's fantastic. And magic happens. And magic happens all the time. We had some people in Nigeria down in Owerri who were just having some difficulties. And I thought, okay, rather than fight it, let's have them sing about it. And so I had them sing. And the next thing you know, they brought their families and they brought their obviously kids. They brought everybody. They had taught it to them at home and they sang it in Sibyl and Sam's church, you know. And did the whole thing, and the whole church was just roaring with all of their joy and all of their goodness, and it's really quite great. And like one father, okay, he said, I taught all my children, and I think he has 11 children, and he taught all his children, and they all lined up in front and sang for us. And then Mary and Stanislaus, you might know them, they took their children, and they all stood up, and they sang a song. But It's a pride, it's a joy, it's a vibration within the being that is absolutely magnificent when these people learn this and apply this. But now comes the next point. It is something that people think is childish, or they think it's not sophisticated. It's not sophisticated. And so they don't want to sing this because it's not sophisticated. They want to be sophisticated. But I wouldn't sing something like that. I wouldn't do something like that. And people do. And if they don't sing, they may not... They probably don't sing because that's the way they feel. They feel it's beneath them to do that. Well, when I get people together with little children, I was in the schools in America and in Europe and a number of them in Switzerland and in Nigeria and Guyana and Ghana and so forth. And as I would work with these children, I would get up there and I would teach them songs. I like me, yes I do, I like me, you know, and other things, you know. And then I would say, what melody do you like? And so they'd give me a melody and we'd sing it. But you know, the interesting thing was, the kids loved it, but the teachers loved it even more, because they recognized that if the kids are going to start singing positive, gentle, loving songs like that, the kids are going to be positive, gentle, and loving. They recognized that. And so they said, how do we write it? They wrote it down on the blackboard. They wrote it down in their notebooks, the teachers. And it was very exciting to see them do that, because when they did that, then they taught that to their kids. We had the superintendent of schools in Ghana working on this, and as he was having all his teachers listen, and he was taking us around to all the districts. The kids would all come out and sing for us, you know, their songs. And then the teacher would say, I heard you have a song for us. And so they'd have Ellen and I sing them our song. And they were just delighted. But, like I told the kids, let's see, where was it? It was a giant unity school in Nigeria or Ghana or someplace down there. And a big school, 1,000 kids. I got pictures of them. Lining up all over the place. And as I stood before them and was asked to share these ideas with them, we had a microphone and everything there to, so we could be heard. It was something with Sybil and Sam were involved
in
too.
Yeah.
Where?
In Nigeria.
In Nigeria, yeah, I thought it was. But the countries blend together after all. They sang, and we taught them these songs. And they loved these songs, and they loved the song. And the whole school group sang these songs. And the whole organization was just alive with it. And when you could hear the music going up from the voices of these children throughout the playground, screaming it and hollering it and shouting it because they wanted to be heard and thinking that they're all such a good singer. You know, and it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. And, oh yes, most of those kids, their parents were in the legislature, or their parents were responsible people because they could afford to send the kids to school. And so I said, now, you guys, your parents are in the legislature. Now, you tell your mom and your daddy that if you have peace in your heart, there's peace in the world. If you have peace in your heart, there's peace in the world. If you have peace in your heart, there's peace in the world. And then I sang them the peace song. And I said, now, you go home and you sing that to your mom and daddy. And you let them know, you know, this idea. And let's see what happens. Well, I heard back from a few of them that some of their parents were not too happy about it because they thought I was trying to change their government. And I was rather saying to them, whatever government you have, respect it and honor it, and speak your word that they are the finest and best governing people in the entire universe, and all they do is want to make this country into even a better and better and better country. Now, those are words. Those are affirmations. Those are statements which change the life of everybody and change the world conditions of everybody. Now, we can do that in the outer, and the outer is wonderful, but we want to do that on the inner. We want to recognize from the inner the power and the dynamics that we are, because we have within us all of this energy, all of this power, and it's just waiting for us to use it. And it's going to be used one way or another. It may be used in nonsense, or it may be used in a blessing. So it's up to us whether we want to make it a blessing. And we make it a blessing by putting it into motion. And this is what I've dedicated my life to, going out and sharing this type of concept. I could give an intellectual talk. I could be a Billy Graham. You know Billy Graham? I mean, Billy Graham is a great evangelist. I could be a Billy Graham. I could get excited about any of these things and get out and win thousands and thousands of people. But I rather just live what I believe and share what I believe with the people and have an impact. Because when you stop and think, you have these large audiences. How many people in those audiences respond to what the speaker says, even though what the speaker says is excellent? The people don't respond to it because they're just one of the group. Yeah. I went to Catherine Kuhlman in Los Angeles. She was a healing lady, minister, a woman teacher, and she could lay her hands on people and heal them and so forth. Then she'd say, somebody in the audience has this. Well, she had 5,000 people. She got a good selection. Somebody in the audience got this and that. They all came down. And then she said, in the name of Jesus. And then she'd put her hand against their forehead and come at them. And they'd fall over backwards. She, in the name of Jesus, you're healed, you know. And then the people would get up with the help of the people who were behind them, and they would leave their crutches and leave their things behind and walk away. And that's lovely. Except that after they got home and realized what they'd done. They went out and bought some new crutches, you know. But many of them are really healed. I don't mean to make a silliness of it, but many of them were really healed because it scared the hell out of them, you know. You're Jesus Christ, you're healed, you know. And oh boy, you know. And they were done. They were healed. Because healing is a mental, spiritual activity. And no matter how we want to make it a physical activity, it isn't. It isn't. Now, this guy here, he went around helping women pop out popcorn, the children, you know, and that's lovely. But remember, Dad, before you came along, women had the neighbor help them, or help themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. Not always too successfully, but they did it themselves, remember?
Yeah.
In the early days, that's just the way it was. There was no, you weren't there.
No.
You, Johnny, come lately here now. But the thing is, they did it themselves, and you can. You can. But we have this technical miracle of knowledge and genius available to us. It's wise to use it. And it's wise to use it. So if we have it, why not make it easier, you know? And what do the your people in your profession tell the man and woman before they come to see him? You tell them to use the Lamaze type of treatment. You're familiar with that, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You are. You are?
Mm-hmm.
Not?
Mm-hmm.
You're not familiar with Lamaze?
No.
Lamaze is where the husband massages the wife's back.
That's what they do now.
Huh?
No.
That's not what they do now?
Well, they do it now.
That's what they do now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, when my wife was pregnant, that's what they told us to do. Mm-hmm. And so we did that, and her pregnancy was just snap.
Yeah, I didn't practice that.
You do practice that.
No, I don't.
You didn't. You didn't, and you don't. And what is your comment about it?
Well, as I said, the life now, they do practice, like AG, you know, because she had a baby, they did all that. In the National Health Service, where we work, there are guidelines to the practice.
Yeah.
You know, and those practice, the guidelines are put out, you know, how to treat the women. And massaging wasn't one of them.
I see.
Yeah, it wasn't. There are people who came like water beds, you know, from France and so on.
Yeah.
Some units absorbed it, you know, but not so many. We were rather on the clear textbook Royal College thing, you know, had the management, you know.
So I got to get modern, huh?
No, but it's modern now, because, I mean, AG said they do that, you know, they make the child lie somehow.
Yeah, they said it will stimulate contraction. It's contraindicated
before she goes in during labor to deliver, you help her, you know, relax and become peaceful and massage her.
Yeah.
And so when my wife Faith went in to have Mark, I did that, you know, according to the class that we had had.
Yeah.
And although I must say the class was not attended by everybody, it was just a small group of people who did those things, you know. But so be it.
Yeah, no, we didn't encourage that in my time, no.
But the thing is, when we learn to relax the body, when we learn to relax ourselves, all of these natural functions of the body can be handled in a perfect, harmonious way. And that's what we want to do. And of course, all of you are going from your medical backgrounds and your medical understanding and training and teaching and what have you, and you know what the current program is. But the big thing is, even with that, when you have a personal relationship where you care, not a long personal relationship, but you just go in and say, there, now you're doing just fine, I'm real proud of you. I've read your chart and I see that you're doing just great. I just love you. You're a great person. You're fantastic. You'll be all right. You'll come through this just
fine. I can't do that very often.
You read about that?
I'm in trouble.
Yeah. You'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
But you're going to tell your woman, you know that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
the doctor who's supposed to be sympathetic and empathetic.
The woman will complain even.
Yeah. Is not allowed to do that anymore.
Too familiar with her.
Yeah. Oh, familiar. Oh, he's sparking up another tree. My. He wants to be the father of her children, huh? No. So we're dealing with some pretty exciting things when we're dealing with energy. And the energy of massage, the energy of the body massage, of the energy massage itself on the body is so wonderful and so super. And it does work. I'm sure that your medical association wouldn't recommend it either. But I don't know that they disrecommend it.
No.
Yeah, because it is so functional. It works. Just like we were talking about the facial massage and the energy presentation in the head, where every nerve ending comes into your brain, everything that is considered the body functions through the brain. And the brain is what interprets everything that goes on. And so when the brain is relaxed, when the brain is at peace, when the nervousness and the tension and the anxiety and all these things are put to rest, then the brain can really do a beautiful job. And then, too, the healing can really take place. It's a wonderful thing. So, these are some of the things that we work with when we work with energy. And we work with energy in a very positive, very powerful, and a very specific way. Now, do you want to work with energy?
Yes.
Do you want to work with something that is so easy, it doesn't cost a cent, except a little attention, to have great results? Well then, I recommend you use it. And I recommend that you take my ideas and expand on them however it fits better in what you're doing and who you are. Because when you do that, then you will utilize it to the highest and best. Everyone does not drive a car the same way. And here in England, it's an interesting experience for me.
Yeah.
Because you're all driving on the wrong side of the road. And emotionally, I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and I don't have the wheel. And I see these cars all doing the opposite thing. And I see Christy making moves in direction. You don't do that. You don't cut off like that. You don't do that. But if we had flipped the road over, it would have been all right. Yeah. Because everything would have been perfectly harmonious with what we do too. But she has been trained, and you have been trained, to drive under these very difficult circumstances. But they're not difficult if that's what you learned to do, if that's what you've been raised to do. And so you do this.
It was difficult when I drove in America.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
It's all wrong.
All wrong. Yeah, you got to be real careful.
Yeah.
You don't make a mistake with the all wrong.
Yeah.
Because if you make the turn in the wrong direction, and then the people, like, I was thinking, you were making turns, and surely people are going to be very upset with you. But they did just the same thing you did.
Yeah.
And after driving with you a couple of years now, I've become accustomed to the fact that I don't have to think or anything about what you're doing. You always get me there. All I do is just let go and back. Think of something else. Sit back and talk about something else. It's not that you're a bad driver. It's just that you're driving in England. Have you ever driven in America yet?
I haven't.
Only golf carts. The golf cart, yeah. Yeah, we'll have to have you drive in America and have a thrill of your life.
San Diego. Where?
Where? San Diego.
Yeah. You know, San Diego, when I went there, I just rented a car and drove around
for one day. Yeah.
And it was, well, my friend was there in the car also.
Yeah.
You know, I danced.
Yeah.
Danced all with me.
San Diego. Yeah.
And, I drove around. And it's like going to Nigeria. When I go to Nigeria, I drive in Nigeria. I just change sides.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't think of anything?
No.
You have to be careful at the roundabout.
Yeah, the roundabouts, yeah. In America, they don't have roundabouts.
No. No, but Switzerland, they have roundabouts.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed there, no roundabouts. So it's very easy to turn. You want to go right, you wait and see the direction you go. If it's roundabout, it would have been difficult.
You got to keep your...
Yeah.
Not very alert. But these are all mental activities that are positive, that we work on in our thinking and in our world, and we have lots of miracles taking place on them. It's really a great and a magical thing. Now, I doubt that you have any questions about what we're talking about, but if you have any questions, it'd be fine to ask them.
Yes.
Nothing comes to mind, or does
something? No. You know the eye movements. As I told you, the one eye red, that means you have to do it 3 times a day. 3 times a day, in the morning, after the evening.
Yeah. What about it?
I'm saying, do you agree? How many times should
the exercise that you're doing, what is my attitude about it, or opinion about it, or recommendation about it?
Yeah.
I feel that any exercise that you do, it's not going to be one that's going to be detrimental to you or hurt you.
Yeah.
Go for it. Now, if you would like to know how to get the best out of an eye exercise, which is not really an exercise of the eye, but the muscles around the eye, you're not, you see, you take your attitude away from the eye and take it to the muscles, which is what you're dealing with. Then I would say there are certain movements of the eye which it is created to handle. Your eye isn't created to go like this. That gives you vertigo. Your eye is created to go left and right and up and down. And then you have peripheral vision to cover in the other quadrants, you know. So if in using an eye exercise that causes you to enter into the peripheral vision areas of your seeing, you're doing yourself a disadvantage because your eyes are being trained to do something they don't normally do. And then when you do that, when you don't normally do it, you will be aware of things that you don't want to be aware of. Because when you're driving and you're aware of everything around you, you know, you train yourself not to see it, even though you know it's there. And if somebody comes into your peripheral vision who's not driving in properly, you just are alert to it because there's an intuitive awareness, and then you tune on your peripheral vision to it. But otherwise, because you can put your hands like back to, you know, straight out 180 degrees or better and see them yet and understand what they're doing. So, on your eye example, you said that you move your eyes up and down. And
just the hand. No, you close your eyes totally.
You close your eyes, yeah.
In the dark. When you finish, instead of blinking, you know, just open and close your eyes several times.
Oh, in other words, the eye exercise is just a normal movement of the
eyes.
Yeah,
when you finish.
But when you have finished with having your eyes closed and exercising them
a few times, your eyes,
then you gently open your eyes
without blinking,
and then look up or look down.
No, you look straight.
Straight ahead?
Yeah.
You don't look up or down or sideways?
No, you just look forward.
Look straight.
But you close your eyes, and you look forward, close your eyes, look forward, close your eyes. And then there is another. As we were talking about the muscles, there's a machine that exercises the muscles my daughter brought.
Yes.
It's like a goggles.
The retinology.
You put it, and then you put it on, and it makes a vibration also about, they say, that three to five minutes. You know, and then it just exercises these muscles around the eyes.
I've not experienced that one.
Yeah.
That'd be a great one.
Yeah.
But what does it do for you?
It says, by exercising the muscles that control the eye, you strengthen the muscles.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you have a sort of charge by the vibration that will affect these muscles. And then you do the finger one.
What is the purpose of moving the muscles?
Well,
what is the purpose of moving the muscles?
According to the explanation, the purpose of moving the muscles is to strengthen them, that exercising them.
To strengthen the muscles by exercising them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it says your facial muscles, you know, by smiling and so
on.
But that there's nothing you do to your eyes.
You actually don't normally do something to your eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But by doing that you now work on the eye, the muscles that control the eye.
Now, what muscles control the eyes? And I don't ask you to name them, but there are muscles on the side
yeah.
and muscles on the
on top. Yeah.
And the muscles on the side and the top, what is their purpose?
Well, the muscles on to keep the eye open.
Both, both the side.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not talking about that one. Oh. I'm talking about the ones on the eye cavity itself.
Or oh, inside the cavity.
Yeah, not the...
yeah, they go the eye position, isn't it?
Yeah. They maintain a perfect sphere in which the vision can be aimed to the retina and come through at the perfect location. Mm-hmm. These side muscles and top muscles.
Yeah.
And so as they are learned, as they are trained to be relaxed
yeah.
and at peace, they're no longer tense and pulling the muscle, to pulling the eye out of shape, and they allow the eye to be in shape. Now, this is my understanding.
Yeah, that's what the yeah. eye is about. Yeah. You know, for those yeah. ones, that way you massage them,
yeah.
and you know,
yeah.
you relax them.
Yeah, and that does not hurt.
No.
I mean, let's put it differently.
That, it doesn't
that,
hurt.
That's a benefit.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt negative. We don't need it. It's a benefit. Now what comes from doing that? When you massage those muscles and they become relaxed and peaceful and functional again, what do they do?
Your vision is better.
Well, now, why would your vision be better?
Because the is the position of the muscles that, you know, control the eye. You know, that is, if they are relaxed, you feel relaxed inside, and then your vision improves.
Mm-hmm.
That is the explanation, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
because somebody with say had cataracts removed or so, mm-hmm. by training their eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have enough vision even to drive mm-hmm. their cars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just cut it out, put a new lens in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's relaxation that
yeah.
the tension in the eye, the mm-hmm. eye sees better without tension. And that if you now massage the eyes, you relax the muscles that mm-hmm. are controlling the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a point, the muscles in your arm and the ligaments in your arm do the job of operating your arm and your hand.
Yes.
And they work perfectly. And you don't exercise them, you just use them as you do normally every day. When you exercise them, they get larger, and they can lift more weight, and they can be more powerful for you, more beneficial, if that's what you choose to have in that area. And they're great. But they do not change their function.
No.
Their function is to bring the arm up and down,
no.
to open the hand and operate the finger. All they do is to have more strength in them to do something. But with no strength at all, you might say, with normal strength,
right.
they do their job.
Yeah.
It's just that you...
may not be efficient, but they do. They may not do it efficiently, but they still do it.
Oh, they're as efficient. They're as efficient because a normal body is not necessarily well-developed body. What is the kind of athlete that you would enjoy being the most? You would like to be a lithe, supple athlete, right?
Mm.
You know what lithe and supple mean?
Yeah,
lithe and supple mean, you know, no overly development of the muscles, just strength, that these athletes are just powerhouses,
yeah.
and they have no extra development of it, you know?
No. You know, just have
the development is not bad. All I'm saying is that our eye does not need strength to do its job. The muscles on the side of the eye, which cause the eye to maintain the cavity that it has so that the vision will point directly to where it's supposed to go, does not need to have a strong muscle or a weak muscle. They say it's weak, but what they really mean is that it has become strained,
yeah.
and when it becomes relaxed and peaceful, it just falls right back into place. And it only takes a day or two, at a week at most, for a strained eye to become balanced and back. When a program of relaxation is
yeah.
handled, and so this is part of what the eye exercise does. The eye exercise that you're pointing it out is a relaxation of those muscles,
yeah.
allowing the muscles to let the cavity be in its normal perfect position to see normally and perfectly. Some people haven't seen normally and perfectly from childhood on because they've had strained muscles on adjacent to their eyes or on the head. And when they are given that blessing by science or doctors or say a relaxation pill or something, where and then all of a sudden they see. You know, another thing they teach you is to see cross-eyed. You can see cross-eyed and you can read perfectly. And it's a silly thing, but it works. You know? But what is it that you're doing when you're seeing cross-eyed? You're relaxing the muscles on the side and on the top, and you're just looking. You have a perfect view coming through your eyes. Really quite wonderful. Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you answered your own question there pretty well. That's good.
What about the one like
Yes, please.
Is there one like that? You have to look. Is there one like you have to look?
I'm sorry?
Is there one exercise for the eyes you have to
look at it, pointing thing.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the eye exercise thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
When you look at it, it turns to two. Hmm? It becomes two.
Yes. Have you tried it?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It turns to
Have you tried
two
it?
Two fingers, no.
Two fingers.
You haven't tried it? Well, now.
I'm ready wearing glasses.
You guys, be careful. I am a man for all seasons. I come prepared with everything. Even in my little tiny wallet here, I think I have the little thing they sent. Yeah, there it is. They sent this along. And what you do is you hold this out like this here, hold your finger like that, and you see three dots, and you can read it perfectly. Try it once. Just hold it out, put your finger right about here, and look at your finger, not at this thing here. And you won't be reading it right away, but at least you can see it clearer.
Yeah.
Can you see it clearer? Move your finger, move this if you wish. No, back this way. To see if, you know, like that.
Right.
Yeah. So, see, move back and forth that way. Now, because your eyes are being treated right now, you may not experience it, but it works perfectly. It works perfectly.
I see three dots instead of two.
The three dots are great. See, right away you're seeing that. Now, that's just part of the exercise. And then another part of the exercise is where you have your finger like this here, and you look at your finger, you see two fingers out here looking at this one, and then you look at this finger out here, and you see two fingers in here. And it causes your eyes to relax, and it causes them to refocus their cavity of the eye, because it makes it relax in its normal condition. And it's really quite exciting. Yeah, try it. You got a copy, didn't you?
This one, no.
I'm sorry, did you?
I didn't.
Well, did I send you a copy of the video?
No.
You want it?
Yes.
But you see the three dots there, and when you see the three dots, of course, when you see them clearly, then you stop moving your hands, and then you start looking to read to see the clearer type. But it's quite interesting. And then on the back of the card, it tells how to function with it. It's very interesting. Yeah, if these things are of interest to you, I'm always happy to share them.
My eyes have become suddenly of interest.
What's that?
I say my eyes have suddenly become of interest.
Is that right?
Yeah, because years I didn't bother about my eyes. Then I had a test, and then I went to see the ophthalmologist. Then I started having drops, 2 years plus now, and everything was all right. And then my right eye now went off track.
You, during that period of time, were misusing your eye so that it became out of focus.
Yeah.
And now you want to get it back in again.
That's what my doctor says.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, if you're interested in this thing too, I'll see you get it too.
That I watched one too much television. So.
Oh, you watch a lot of television?
Yeah, she stopped that.
Yeah, we don't. On the campus, we just watch videos. And see them.
Yeah,
it's more a computer.
I don't do much on the computer.
Yeah, well, that can.
I don't do much on the computer, but I watch television, and of course I watched the big screen. You know, so, but it's not that I used to spend too long watching television. I used to watch programs, you know, that I don't even want. You know, but now I just watch programs that I want to watch.
Mm-hmm. That's wise. Mm. Yeah, that's great. Okay, has any other thought or question come up that we can share? So, if not, we'll take a pause. And we're doing just great. And we have an hour and 13 minutes it's been talking here.
Yeah.
So that's always nice. Well, thank you very much.
And I'll be thinking of going here.
Hmm?
I'll be thinking of going back to Luton.
You're about ready to head home, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
fine.
We've done very well.
Yeah.
We've done very